Cowboy football.
Everybody's going to have their opinion no matter what.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You got D-Hop, you got Larry, Christian Kirk, the running backs, Kenyon, Chase, even the tight end.
I mean, we have everything that you need.
This offense has the potential to be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
You know, let's focus on that quote right there. It's something we haven't talked about since we were excited in hearing it when Marcus Spears said it, I think back in August. Maybe it was September. This offense has the potential to be the best in the NFL. Well, how do you judge it?
Yep.
If you want to use the metrics the NFL uses, which is yardage, for most weeks they have been the best offense in the NFL, and I believe now they're ranked number two. So that means you're doing a lot of things right.
Yes.
Yet when you go up against defense number 32, and as of right now, according to Monday Night Football last night, the third worst defense in NFL history, you score 21 points. And then you go up against an average Patriots defense, and you score, what, 17?
Yes.
That's your output that you can't help but stare down and say, you've got an offensive problem. If you're going up against a great defense, if you hold Aaron Donald to only one sack Monday or Sunday, and you score 21 points and win 21-17, that's a great game. Great game. Good job. Little pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going up against Seattle's defense and New England's defense, that's just not good enough.
No, it's not good enough right there. And once again, these last two games, you can lay these two losses at the feet of the Arizona Cardinals offense. I don't know how else to say it. I really do not. But when you go up and you score 21 points again against the Seattle Seahawks' historically bad defense, when you do that and then come back and score 17 points against a very average defense in the New England Patriots, especially when you had the defense basically hand you a couple of gifts. The very first possession that the Arizona Cardinals got, of course, after the defense turned over the Patriots and suddenly you got the ball on the New England 23. And then, of course, with just over 4 minutes to go, Dre Kirkpatrick's pick basically handed the offense the game on a silver platter, and they just couldn't do anything with it. I think right now the offense is a big concern for me. That's what they've got to fix. When you talk about the number one thing the Arizona Cardinals have got to fix, Basinonians, to me, it's the offense. There's something wrong there. I don't know what it is, but this yo-yo, up-and-down performance against teams that are good and then teams that are not good, it's confounding and confusing right now the way that they play. I fully expect them to play well against the Rams defense. What a crazy thought that is. What a ridiculous thought that is. The fact that now all of a sudden they're going to play the Rams defense, I expect the offense to play well. Why? Because they've been doing it all year, playing up and down to their competition. All year. Why is that? I don't know. I do know this. They have a Mustang. They have a wild Mustang at quarterback. A guy that's just loaded with so much goodness, so much talent, who's got to develop that leadership role as a franchise quarterback. He's got to develop, and the only way to do that is through time and experience. There's no other way to say it.
Cliff, what is going on with the offense?
You know, first and foremost, that's the NFL, and you have your ups and downs and teams going hot streaks, and then there's going to be games where you struggle, and I said it. The last couple weeks, I thought Seattle, you know, played really hard, executed well defensively, and New England did the same. And when plays were there to be made, we weren't great at consistently making them. And, you know, it starts with me with the plans and making the correct calls. And then when we do have opportunities, we got to make them. But that's the league. You're not going to go 16 straight weeks of you know, playing at your elite level. And these are the kind of valleys that you have to battle through and continue to work and continue to evolve. And that's what I expect this offense to do.
Continue to evolve. That's what I'd love to see right there. Well, and this is what I'm wondering right here, right? Continue to evolve. Now, maybe, you know, what do you say you take Kyler Murray and put him under center once again? Maybe, listen, Basin Odies, maybe it's Kyler Murray sitting there in this quarterback room, and he's just looking at Cliff going, man, coach, there's no way I want to get under center. Don't put me under center. I don't want to go under. I don't want to take a snap under center. I don't want to do that. But I will tell you right now, there's a package of plays. I've been talking about it for months. There's a package of plays that come off putting a quarterback under center that is really, really good. And it's all predicated on the tackle zone, something that running backs like to run, something that is a staple for almost every team in the National Football League, whether they're doing it out of the shotgun or actually doing it out of pistol or doing it out of under center with a running back in the queue, where you're running that tackle zone in the package of plays, whether it's a bootleg or a waggle that comes off of it, or just a straight play action that comes off of it inside the pocket. This is where you start to get chunk throws down the field. You see this all the time. All of a sudden, you snap the ball, and the quarterback's running to that mesh point on the tackle zone, and those backers have got to honor that. They've got to honor it. They sit there, and all of a sudden, oh, he pulled it out. And you just take three more steps in the pocket, and now all of a sudden, here comes the deep in with the post over the top. It's rudimentary, the stuff that I'm talking about right now. But it is just an expansion. It gives defenses more that they have to think about. And, man, I'll tell you, I don't know if that's a bad thing. Is that really a bad thing if, in fact, a defense has got to consider that you're capable of doing more or less? To me, I want that defense to think more. Oh, my goodness, we've got to do all this stuff, and we've got to practice for this because they're capable of featuring this tackle zone package. They're going to do it. I'll guarantee you they're going to look at our tape, and they're going to see what happened to us last week or 2 weeks ago, and they're going to do it, and then you don't. And they've wasted an awful lot of time on working on the tackle zone package. It's just one example, but to me, expand the football universe, man.
In Cliff's press conference yesterday, the head coach was talking about one of the bigger problems, and it does make me think about what you're talking about, because wouldn't this add to your ability in short yardage?
Yeah, week in and week out, we're going to look at the defense and the fronts and the film of our opponent and try to come up with the best ways to attack it in those situations. Obviously had some situations yesterday that we didn't get it done, and hopefully we'll be better moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully they're going to be better moving forward right now. It just seems odd that the explosive plays have gone silent for the most part recently, of course, recently with the Arizona Cardinals. And yet at the same time, they seem to be struggling with short yardage and goal situations, right? Goal line is what I mean. Third and one, fourth and one, fourth and inches, third and inches, whatever it may be.
Which I thought we had solved because they were so good goal to go early,
yes.
Which is somewhat similar to third and one, third and two,
well,
things like that.
Yeah,
not totally.
Not really, though, because,
you have a whole field to defend if you're at the 50 or something.
First and goal, no, it's first and goal at the 7-yard line. You've got 7 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the short yardage and goal line. Let's pack them in and be able to convert. That has been, to me, problematic. And it's something I think they've got to improve. But once again, it's all about Kyler Murray. It really is. It's all about Kyler Murray, what he likes, what he doesn't like. You have to run what the quarterback likes. And I have to ask the question. I have to wonder, does Kyler not want to be under center? Is he sitting in these meetings saying, coach, I don't want to be under center, period? And if he is, I get what Cliff is doing. I understand it. Because if a quarterback doesn't like what you're doing, doesn't like a play, you don't run that play. It's one of the reasons why BA down in Tampa, they totally have changed their approach. Whatever Tom Brady likes, that's what they run. Here's our plays. You go ahead and you pick and you choose. Whatever Tom Brady likes, that's the plays that are being called down in Tampa. It's not the bash and bomb offense. It's the bash and bomb concept that BA is pushing down there. But it's not his offense anymore. It's, Tom, you call the plays. You pick the plays from this offense, and we'll run them. You got to consider your quarterback and everything. So if Kyler's sitting there saying, I don't want to be under center, now I understand his conundrum, his problem. It's clear.
I would like to see this team get off to faster starts. If I want one thing to change, this is going to sound crazy to you, but taking on Detroit, Detroit starts with an 11-play drive for a 3-0 lead. Arizona turns the ball over. Carolina. Arizona starts with 5 plays and a punt. Carolina goes on a 13-play touchdown drive. Miami, they go 3 and out. Arizona gets the ball, so you're feeling good. Bam, fumble return for a touchdown. You're down 7-0. Seattle, game 1, 12-play touchdown drive for Seattle. Arizona, 3 and out. Mm. Seattle, game 2, 6-play touchdown drive. Arizona, 3 and out. Go, even against Buffalo. Arizona, 13-play field goal drive. You feel good. You're up 3-0. Buffalo, 7-play touchdown drive. Right now in the first quarter, the Cardinals average losing the first quarter every game this year, and their offense is middle of the road. They're only 13th best offense in the league in the first quarter at scoring points. With all those weapons, that should be a little higher. You have a whole week to get ready, and you can't score more on your opening drive or your first or second drive. While the defense, there's only 5 teams worse in the first quarter. So right from the beginning, you're losing the vast majority of your games in the first quarter.
What's amazing about that, though, and I think Paul Calvisi was actually talking about this. Paulie was talking about it, but he's right on the money on this, and rarely is Paul ever right on the money, Basinonians, but that portends to the intelligence of Cliff Kingsbury because he's making a lot of in-game adjustments, apparently. The slow starts offensively, think of this offense and how well they've moved the ball. And not only that, but you're talking about a top 7, top 8 team in terms of scoring.
I think it's a fair compliment, but at the same time, Cliff, at what point do you adjust and get good in the first quarter too? What are you doing during the week that you're not able to create that?
There's no doubt about that, Douglas. That is a valid point.
Coming up next, one game continually gets pushed back for the sake of a quarterback while one team has to play without their quarterbacks. Mitch isn't happy. And we think he's wrong. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Play hard, play fast, baby.
Where is Rodgers?
Huddle, 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 huddle.
Talking football on the Doug and Wolf Show.
First of all, if you don't realize it, get excited. You're about 15 minutes away of possibly hearing your name. Text GATE to 620-620 right now, and you might be the name that gets a $700 barbecue grill. And keep listening at 745, because if there's a choke job again, and whoever we announce is not listening, you can steal their grill. It's all brought to you by Four Peaks of the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. 7:15 on a Tuesday. Basically one of my favorite beautiful parts of the program. Maloney takes over and gives you every big sports story from the NFL weekend that we just had.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
Okay. So the Falcons played their best defensive game of the season against the Raiders, forcing 5 turnovers and producing 5 sacks. They ended up beating the Raiders 43-6. So how does Derek Carr feel?
We have a better group, for sure, than what we put on tape today. But our fans deserve better than what we did today. Our organization deserves better than what we put out there today. That was a bunch of trash.
No.
You know what? You got to love it, though. This is your franchise quarterback. This is your quarterback standing up saying, you know what? You don't need to look anywhere else but right here. Start with me, and then everybody else that went out there and played a bunch of trash can have it. I'll guarantee you there was a listeners-only meeting, or in this case, a players-only meeting. I guarantee it. I have no inside knowledge of that, but I promise you, as badly as they played, there better be some accountability time.
Well, one of the things you have to pay attention to is whether or not Raheem Morris is going to be the head coach of the Falcons going forward. Because ever since they fired the staff of Dan Quinn and everybody else on that team, then you look at what's been moving forward. Raheem Morris, I think he's lost one game. I might be wrong, and he's like 4-2, but he's been having a fantastic season. And by the way, for those of you idiots that decided to bench Tom Brady because he had struggled the week before and start Carr, Carr got you 0.6 points as a fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
0.6.
Boy, brutal. Mm.
The Dolphins beat the Jets 20-3 as quarterback Sam Darnold returned to the lineup after a two-game absence due to a shoulder injury, but he threw two interceptions and failed to get the offense in the end zone. Here's Adam Gase.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
Just tell the truth.
Yeah, amen.
I just see this is, kids, this is exactly what happens, my young Krog brothers, when you refuse to tell the truth.
He later got defensive and claimed that it's a competitive disadvantage for the other team to know who's calling the plays. So he doesn't want to go any further into explaining who's calling the plays. So now, Cliff Kingsbury, if you were as good of a coach as Adam Gase was, you would have three guys all standing on the sideline with play sheets in front of their mouth so we didn't know who was calling the plays.
Yeah.
Because we now know for everybody that makes it obvious you're calling the plays, you are creating a competitive disadvantage for your team. So says the all-football genius Adam Gase.
See, there's no doubt about it. Adam Gase is right. It is a competitive advantage when you know who's calling the plays. There's no doubt about it because you've got personality behind it. You've got history behind it. There are defensive coordinators. This is all they do. They study your tendencies, whoever the play caller is. And it's exactly the reason why you self-scout yourself and you make sure that your call sheet is not the same week in and week out.
Oh, just fire him now. Come on.
The Browns beat the Jaguars 27-25 on Sunday, and though it wasn't pretty, the victory clinched Cleveland's first non-losing season since 2007. And if you guys want to talk about lying, here's Baker Mayfield.
Oh. The TV sound caught you saying as the Jags shifted pre-snap on one play, that was cute, guys. What's going on in the moment like that for you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't say that? It was just like you were doing the snap count and the jag shifted. We could hear the sound at the line of scrimmage. We could hear you say that.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But more from Baker Mayfield. Did he expect a close game?
No, I mean, I really feel like we left a lot of points on the board. Like, truly do. I mean, there was a ton of missed opportunities from just my perspective. A lot of missed throws. You know, there's only two things I hate more than missing throws, and that's lying and skim milk. And skim milk's just water lying about being milk. So, got to make those throws.
Whatever, Baker. But let me just say this. There are two backs that I don't miss when they're on television, ladies and gentlemen. There are two backs, Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb. When they're on, I'm watching it.
I am hoping Baker Mayfield was actually being funny because he was lying before and now he's calling out lying. I hope, because that's kind of funny if he was really doing that. I don't think he was, though, because I think that's the type of person Baker Mayfield is to try to pull a fast one on you. Baker, just say, listen, I'm not going to get into what goes on the field because that should be more sacred than it is this year. And just leave it there and just let it go. But again, every time I look at the Browns, the Colts, the Titans or the 49ers, I ask this question. Who's coach of the year?
Yeah,
I mean, with what you just said,
Stefanski.
It's crazy that the Browns are here after what's happened the last 2 years of that franchise.
Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdown passes, and the Green Bay Packers beat the slumping Chicago Bears 41-25 on Sunday night to pad their NFC North lead. So we know things are going well for the Packers, but how are things going for the Bears? Here's Matt Nagy.
Whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week, is that. And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it.
What disappointment for the Bears when you think about it. You start 5-1, and then suddenly you lose 5 games in a row. How brutal is that? And now they got a quarterback dance going on in Chicago, too. Man, this is what a mess.
There's a phrase that's in regards to a show that I didn't think was – that I didn't love, but there's a phrase called jump the shark. And for those of you who don't know where it's from – it's from Arthur Fonzarelli of Happy Days, which was once the most popular show in America. They had him on water skis and a leather jacket jumping a fake shark tank that was actually underwater on a water ski jump like he could really do it. And that phrase has always been used for meaning you know it's over when you do something like that. You jump the shark.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy has officially jumped the shark. You really think you have the pull in that locker room and that building to challenge everybody to take it personally and act like that? This isn't college, tough guy. You just signed your ticket to going back to an offensive coordinator position.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only that, too, I would say that the quarterback dance, Mitchell Trubisky, that has been going on right now, maybe that was the precursor to losing 5 games in a row.
Could have been.
Matt Nagy.
Very well.
The Saints beat the Broncos 31-3 on Sunday as Denver started practice squad receiver Kendall Hinton at quarterback when all of the Broncos quarterbacks were disqualified over coronavirus concerns. Hinton finished 1 of 9 passing for 13 yards with 2 interceptions. So is this what he planned for his NFL debut?
I would not say this is, how I planned out in my dreams, but, you know, It usually doesn't work out how you want it. And so just getting this opportunity and this experience has been amazing. Imagine myself playing quarterback in the NFL 4 years ago. You know, it's completely different, being in a completely different situation. But, you know, it's experience like none. So,
wow. First of all, God bless that kid. He lost the quarterback job at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And now he's starting an NFL game. So congratulations to him and to handling it that well. But in all of sports, you will rarely see the level of whining that has come out of Denver. From every tweet, from every media guy, from every whining Broncos fan, this wasn't fair. Are you kidding? You had 4 guys that all – I don't care how you feel about coronavirus. These are the rules. You had 4 guys break the rules, openly break the rules, not care about the rules, and then you want to say it's not fair how the NFL treated rules breakers. You wouldn't feel like this if it was PEDs. You wouldn't feel like this if it was Deflategate and you lost a championship game to New England because they were cheating. But now when you break the rules, it's not fair. The league should have done more to protect us. No, they shouldn't. Denver, suck it up and quit whining.
I could not have said it any better right there, honestly. Well done, Douglas.
And Mitch, you are included because you have been whining all week on that, and you know it. I think you knew you were whining and whined anyway.
We have no time, but I want to talk about Laura Locke at some point in time. Drew Locke's mom. His mom. Unbelievable.
All right.
So hoopy.
Well, that tease was good enough for me. How about we declare a winner on who might get a grill? And we're talking about Drew Locke's mom next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Stop it.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
Did you do it? Did you do it? If you texted GATE to 620-620, you should be listening right now for your chance to be a winner in the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. I'm going to give you a name, and only that name should be calling in. Ryan, hopefully I get this right. Ryan Theis from Phoenix. T-H-I-E-S. T-H-I-E-S. It could be Thies.
Right.
But I'm going to go, but there's no U, and I went Theis.
Yeah.
Not Reggie Theis, former Bulls guard.
Or do you think, oh, Minch has an idea. Silent H. He goes with Tice.
Tice.
Ryan Tice.
Oh, boy, that's a leap, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
So
T-H-I-E-S?
Yeah.
These.
Well, Ryan, while we waited 30 seconds to figure out your name, those 30 seconds still cost you. So you're down to 9.5 minutes.
602-260-9870.
$700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set is on the line for you, Ryan. But if you don't call, everyone listening right now, be paying attention at 7:45 because you could steal Ryan's grill.
I don't think there's anybody truly like him. He's in a class of his own.
He's dynamic. He has a live arm, can make all the throws.
Man, he got wheels, I can tell you that.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
He did it again. He made the defender look silly out in space.
Yeah, that has a different dynamic to this offense.
Doug and Wolf talk Kyler Murray now.
Interesting question to Cliff Kingsbury yesterday as it relates to Kyler Murray. And you know, Wolf, this is the type of question that makes coaches bristle as a former player. Paul, you know in the media when you say these magic words, figured it out, that's a buzzword that's going to get a coach fired up. Have defenses figured out the Kyler Murray RPO?
I'm not sure if figure out is the right word. They obviously had a good plan and wanted to try and, you know, contain him in the running game. And when that happens, we got to be more productive with the backs and getting yards that way. And I thought at times we were, but just not consistent enough in that run game.
Because correct me if you think I'm wrong, Paul. Saying, have they figured it out, is another way of saying, you're not creative anymore.
Well, it's a way of saying, have they figured you out and you failed to adjust?
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of saying that. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's response is, guess what? The entire offense isn't Kyler Murray. Come for the arms, stay for the legs. But when the defense puts all its resources into stopping both, or at least the legs of Kyler Murray first, guess what, guys? We have to adapt. Because later he was asked about whether a one-dimensional Kyler hurts the Cardinals' offense. Does it have a negative impact?
I don't think it has a negative effect. I think when we have to be great at the precision passing game, it's just about us being more consistent in doing that, being on time with the ball and having the right depths of the routes. And you got to have more of a sense of urgency there when teams are going to make us throw it, and when we get in situations that we have to throw it.
So we got a little more specific there. I found that interesting. The backs have to get into it. The routes have to be run correctly. The throws have to be on time.
Sure.
There has to be more urgency. So there's a lot more than just all of a sudden teams adjusting their game plans and overloading the edges or whatever exactly they're doing to take away the Kyler run game and the RPOs. The Cardinals have to be able to adapt, and they've yet to do that to the degree of success they need to get back on a winning track.
To your point, Bully, you have to be able to adapt right there. You've nailed it. Ding, 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 ding. You're right on it. Because, again, you have to be able to throw the ball. Playing quarterback in the National Football League is about throwing the ball first. And it's always going to be about throwing the ball first. It is. Otherwise, if, in fact, you're saying that Kyler Murray has got to run the ball, you've got to have called runs for Kyler Murray, you got to let him run the ball, and that's going to be the most important thing about him. I said this earlier on the show. I'll say it again. If you're saying he's got to be able to run the ball for him to be successful in the National Football League, that's Michael Vick, Paul.
Right.
That's Michael Vick.
Once again, when he showed up, and we needed to see it for ourselves, but we have seen it, he's a pocket quarterback who can run.
Correct.
He's not Michael Vick. He's not a running quarterback who will occasionally throw. But if you're relying on him and the other 10 guys are looking at him to be that running quarterback, guess what? This isn't going to work. We said it in the Seattle game on Thursday night. At the very end of the game, it was third and goal at the 3, a 15-play, 90-yard drive that culminated in the Chase Edmonds touchdown catch, and Pete Carroll brought the house. Well, I don't know what the play was supposed to be, but all of a sudden Chase Edmonds was wide open. The Cardinals made the Seahawks pay for overplaying the legs of Kyler Murray.
Correct.
And I thought, honestly, one of my biggest takeaways from the New England game, they did not make Bill Belichick pay nearly as much as they should have for overplaying Kyler Murray trying to get loose with the run game.
And then I'm really focused, Paul, on your point about what Cliff was really saying there. And when he's looking at the problems of this offense, I am guessing RPOs aren't as successful if the receiver isn't at exactly where he needs to be, because then it's easier for that linebacker to play both, to fool Kyler. If he's putting the ball in the belly of Kenyon Drake and looking at the linebacker trying to see, are you coming at me to stop the run or are you staying back in my passing lane? If a receiver is just haphazardly running his slant and not at precisely the right distance, there's not a window. It's easier to fool Kyler. And I can't help but wonder, since you said that, Cliff, is that not happening? Are you not getting your receivers doing what you are specifically asking them to do? And then why not? Is it receivers don't get it? Is it receivers don't care? Or is it not the receivers and you're just trying to spread blame around? Because it seems that's a little more specific than Cliff normally likes to get with us in the meeting.
If that's the case, is it plausible to say the quarterback would be frustrated? Maybe
yes.
Maybe that's one of the big reasons Kyler has that look on his face. It's not just a pass rusher getting free on third down and instantly blowing through a double team at the point of attack, and you go down and you spike the ball in frustration. Maybe it's a lot more than that. Maybe it's a slow burn. Maybe it's a buildup over the game of guys aren't in the right spots at the right times where they need to be. When all I have these 6'6", 300-pounders bearing down on me, this is a precision passing game. Those are the words Cliff Kingsbury used. And maybe the receivers aren't holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. It's a great point right there. It is. You can get frustrated. I understand that. I've been frustrated on the sideline. I have had the explosions on the sideline as well. I'm fine with that. If that's what Kyler Murray wants to do, come off and explode and go nuclear, that's what a quarterback and his prerogative, it's his right to do. He should. I got no problem with that. But if you want to sit there with your head down, it's just not a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a good look. It's just a bad way to go. The optics of it all, you impact everybody else on the team that's looking at you. That's why you got to fight that, even though it is frustrating.
Bickley and Murata actually asked Cliff about Kyler's demeanor.
He's a competitor. He gets frustrated when you know, it's not the way he wants it to be. And so we understand that. And there's a fine line you walk. You've seen some of the great ones do that at times, and Kyler understands that he's a leader out there, and the guys are going to follow him and look at him in crucial situations. And I think at that position, you're always progressing, and you're always trying to evolve and be better and lead better, and he's no different. You know, he's a young player in his second year, and will continue to work at being the best quarterback he can be for the Arizona Cardinals and help lead this organization.
And remember what Justin Pugh said. Justin Pugh said the character of the team, of the people in this locker room, of the men in this room, are going to be tested. And speaking of
Segway, I smell Segway.
Very well done, Paul. It's time for your Character Counts. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Let's go to McClintock High School. Junior and lineman Noah Sanchez is in the business of giving back to those less fortunate. Here's what Noah's involved in. When he's not starting on both sides of the football, or wrestling or in weightlifting, the junior can be found offering up his time and energy back to the community, sharing his time with underprivileged kids in a boxing ring to lift up their spirits and confidence, helping them to form down and sharing life lessons, or lending a hand at homeless shelters. Sanchez makes sure he puts his best foot forward on a daily basis, and he says, "My tata always told me, if I can't give my money, then I can give my time. And that's what I can do. I like to give back to boxing and through Little League Baseball and a couple homeless shelters. Boxing, I like helping kids that aren't very fortunate, and I just do what I can, teaching them what I've been taught by my family, a little bit about boxing, but a lot about life." Mm-hmm. One of the organizations he helps is Flight 33, which serves around 300 children a year through its back-to-school backpack program in Guadalupe, Arizona. And then once he graduates, God bless you, Noah, He wants to attend the United States Military Academy, become a pilot, and earn a mechanical engineering degree.
Wow, Noah. Man.
Okay.
You know what? He's been given gifts, Basinonians. Use those gifts to help other people.
A kid helping kids. Sorry about that, Wolf. That was well said. But I just always move by when someone who's still a kid themselves is helping other kids. That's amazing. He's gotten to that point that fast.
Here's what's really going to get to you is his age, being young and in high school, and yet all the way back to 9/11, which with his age would have happened, I believe, before he was born. He knows the story of Pat Tillman and how 9/11 affected Pat, and that's why he wants to go to Army at West Point. Wow.
I mean, how can you not see those pictures of graduation at West Point and Pat Tillman and not be moved?
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is see some of those iconic pictures of Pat and the Green Beret and the Army Rangers and everything he achieved.
Noah, best of luck. And if there's anything the Doug and Wolf Show can do, please let us know to help out. That means he's moved up to a finalist. He has a chance at a $10,000 scholarship. Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical are the proud partner of Character Counts, and they award a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student-athlete in our area. The only way we can do that is with you. Let us know of a student that you know of, just like Noah, that it should have his story or her story told by the Doug and Wolf Show. Just text CHARACTER to 620-620. Coming up next, James Jones. What do you want this team to do? Your Phoenix Suns, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate.
Virtual Tailgate.
We appreciate you listening, but you cannot steal Ryan's grill.
No way.
Ryan called in 2.5 minutes. Ryan, congratulations. You just walked away with a $700 barbecue grill, a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, and you have the secret, super secret passcode to jump in on the ultimate virtual tailgate to finally get the Cardinals a victory this weekend against the Rams. And you'll join that tailgate, all presented by Four Peaks. If you want the next chance to be a winner, all you have to do is text GATE to 620-620. That's GATE as in tailgate to 620-620 and be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Was it these?
I asked
we dropped the ball on that one.
I asked Mitch and Maloney that question, and they didn't know.
No!
Because if you think about it, he calls up and he says, "Hey, I'm Ryan," and they usually don't believe you because so many people call up and try to say that they are the person.
All right.
But then he knew all of his own secret information that he has to put in for us to verify who it was, so we never said, "Hey, what's your last name? How do you say it?"
Just out of curiosity, Ryan, go ahead and at me on Twitter if you don't mind, because I'd love to know what it is.
I was kind of interested in that as well. Hey, James Jones says, expectations are raised. Here we go.
I appreciate their support. I say it again. You know, the goal is never to just win games. The goal is to win a title. In order to do that, you have to win your division. At some point, you have to win in the playoffs. You know, that's the goal. The goal is always a title for us. And so anyone that steps into this building, everyone that steps into this building knows that our goal is to win a title. And, you know, for the fans, you know, their expectation should be for us to win the title. That's the only way I know how to play. That's the only way I played. You know, that's my approach. I mean, I think you can ask coach, you can ask our players, you can ask our staff. We don't come in here to just win games. We come in here because we know in order to win a title, you need to win a lot of games. So playoffs, titles, however you strike it, we're here to win games.
Every NBA general manager, Basinonians, is going to say we're here to win a title, right? Everyone's going to say that. There's no way you're going to say we're here to get into the postseason. That's what we are. We're here to get into the postseason. Nobody's ever going to say that. We're here to win 50 games. Nobody's ever going to say that. They're always going to say, and rightfully so, we're here to win a title. There's no doubt about it. But, man, listening to James Jones, it brings it all back. Raise the bar of expectation. Everyone is talking about the Suns in regard to what? Playoffs and getting into the playoffs. The Suns haven't been into the playoffs in a decade. haven't been there in a decade, and now all of a sudden you got a guy talking about, we're here to win a title. We're going to raise the bar on this. We're here to win a title, not just get into the playoffs. That is great. That is great management, if you ask me, by James Jones in regard to setting the bar of expectation for everybody that is coming into this organization. Everybody that's coming in, whether you're a young guy or an old guy, everybody that's coming in here and is going to be part of Planet Orange all over again, you're going to have to embrace this expectation. You're going to do it individually and you're going to do it collectively. I love it. It's great. It's great management by James Jones to control those expectations and to let you know what his expectation is. I love it, man.
This Saturday is December 5th, and then only the next Saturday, December 12th, boom, first game. Preseason, mind you. But the first preseason game is coming up then, and then that Christmas week, teams are going to start at different times. We still can't tell you their schedule. We know their preseason schedule. The NBA is doing something different this year, obviously corona-related. 72-game schedule, but they are not releasing a 72-game schedule.
Yeah.
They're going to release, and they haven't given a definitive amount, but somewhere between 30 and 35 games, they'll release that schedule. And they want the freedom, because of canceled games, to know, how do we need to schedule your remaining games to get to 72? How many off days will you need to possibly fit in those games? So they're not tying themselves down to an initial 72-game schedule. So we don't officially know when they actually start, but I believe today is the day the Suns actually go in and start training camp. And, I mean, here we go.
I know that, you know, we did some things this summer as far as improving the team. Well, you know, but just adding guys to the team has never been the goal. You know, the goal for us is winning. And the goal for us is, I said prior, creating a playoff atmosphere and bringing a playoff approach to every single game. And if we do that with this group, I think the sky's the limit. You know, so we'll get it going really soon. But I'm anxious to see how these position battles play out.
Oh, my goodness. I just love it right now. I really do. Because, again, do you think there's a lot of people out there talking about what a great job James Jones has done in building this team this summer, right? Mm-hmm. Or this offseason, I should say. Not this summer, this offseason. Do you think there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, my goodness, James Jones, you got to be kidding. The Phoenix Suns are going to the playoffs. And yet he's talking about being the best of the best. And that's what matters to him. That is a great job, again, of controlling the message.
If I'm not mistaken, and I don't have time to look it up, but I believe it was 2014, if you remember, where year two of Jeff Hornacek, where they went, and this off the top of my head again, about 42-40 or 43-39, where they surprised all of us with a 40-win season.
I thought it was 48 wins.
48 wins? If you nailed that.
If I nailed that, seriously, what is – I don't know what I had for dinner last night.
I'm guessing it was around 2014, and 2013, 2014, where they had the good year, and yeah. We went into 2014 with expectations for the first time since Nash was gone, and they failed us, and they just it went to pot, and then that was the end of any hope for a long, long time, and we've known they're going to be terrible forever. That year, I thought they were going to make the playoffs. I was wrong. I thought they were going to make the playoffs. Yeah. This year, I look at it as utter failure if they don't make the playoffs.
Complete failure.
I mean, it is crazy for the first time in seriously 10 years where you have hope and expectations for the Suns franchise.
Yes, absolutely. And this is the reason why you hear James Jones saying what he's saying, Basinonians. This is the reason why he's talking about championships, not playoffs. Playoffs? Stop talking about playoffs.
But I got too excited.
I mean,
playoffs?
Think about it, though. James Jones, he doesn't want you thinking about playoffs right now. It's about winning a championship. I love the fact that he's talking like that, because the expectation is everyone, at least at the station, I think, everyone that's out there in the NBA as an analyst, they're saying, man, the Suns are a playoff team. Suns are a playoff team. There are some people out there saying they're going to host a playoff series. there are some people out there talking about the Suns being one of the top four seeds in the Western Conference. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if I'm James Jones, that kind of talk makes me a little nervous.
He said specifically, though, he expects a playoff atmosphere for every game. Like it,
exactly.
Regular season. And he's not talking about you as a fan base. I mean, the intensity he expects from the players,
yes,
is to feel like this is a playoff game, because in his mind, that's the only way to play the game.
Once again, it's like, warning, 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 Will Robinson, warning. What? In regard to complacency. Mm. That's what he's worried about.
Coming up next, the Cardinals won one game in November. So are they going to stay in the hunt in December? What do they got to do? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.